Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning with the Love in Action. I am Ken Tuck. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you are doing well. And I would like to start out this morning by saying happy birthday to my beautiful bride, Martha. Happy birthday, baby. I hope you have a wonderful day today. And I just thank God for you. Thank God for bringing us together and for allowing us to live this life for Him together. I love you and happy birthday. We're going to continue talking about the book of James. We started last week and just kind of doing an overview of James and pointing out some important parts. Of course, I think all of it's important. James is an incredible book. And as I give this overview of the book, I hope you pick up on some study ideas. As we talked about last week, it's so important to read the Bible in context. And I like to say looking at it through the proper lens. What I mean by that is understanding who the author is, who the audience is that he was writing this to at the time, what was going on at the time that this was written. And it's important to do that with each book in the Bible. Because when we can understand it through the lens it was written in, then we can put it into our day and time a whole lot better. And it is so relevant now as it was then, but just understanding the whole context of each book is so important. And we're going to continue talking about James today. We're going to pick up with faith and works, which was a much debated topic that comes out of James, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we love you so much. You are awesome. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You are incredible. And Lord, we just want to say we love you and we thank you for your Son Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, for your love, your grace and mercy that you pour out upon us in abundance. We thank you for giving us another day, and we thank you for this opportunity to open up your word together and share your gospel, share your word across the airwaves today and on the internet and on apps and any way people are listening today. I just want to lift people up to you today, Father God. You know who's hurting. You know who's celebrating praise reports and joy that's happening in their lives, and then others who are, God, they're just dealing with different things, Lord, and it may be a death of a loved one, it may be a financial situation or a sickness. Father, you know it, and just want to lift each person up to you and ask you to meet each one of them where they're at, and I know you do, and I especially want to pray for those who are listening that don't have that relationship with you, Jesus. I pray today will be the day they call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Father, we again thank you for your word. Thank you for just loving us. And we give you this time and we ask your Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us, guide us, and direct us into all truths and to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, let us put action to your word in our lives, Lord. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to encourage you, if you did not get a chance to listen to Sunday Morning with Love and Action here on the Joy FM last week, to check out our podcast, the Love and Action Podcast. You can find that on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can pretty much be assured the Love and Action Podcast is there. And encourage you to pull it up and listen to last week's message as well. And this week's message, we'll post that on the podcast as well. Well, let's open up to the book of James, if you're able to open up your Bible this morning. And we are in chapter 2 is where we left off at last week. And we were talking about faith and works. As I mentioned, this is a part of James that's been debated a lot because some people think that it contradicts with some things that Paul wrote about faith and works, where it looks like James is saying, look, you're saved by your works, and Paul is saying you're saved by faith alone. Again, what I mentioned earlier, you need to read the Bible in context, and that is so important because when you do read the Bible in context, you read what was Paul talking about, what was James talking about, you will find out that they agree with each other. And James was really looking at people can take works and try to make salvation out of works. And people can take faith, and there's nothing that goes on other than an intellectual type of believing in Jesus, which really isn't faith anyway. When you put the two together side by side and you study them, you'll realize that James and Paul, they agreed with one another. But it's so often people will take one text and not look what comes before or what comes after, or again, see what the situation is that the author's writing about, and just start debating that and just totally take it out of context and confuse a lot of people. But James is talking here, and we're going to read this again. We read it last week, but let's go ahead and read it again. In James chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 14 through 26. He's talking about faith without works is dead. And let's read that, starting in verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see, that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So let's unpack that a little bit here. James is saying works shows proof of a follower's faith in Christ. And I so very much agree with James here because, as I mentioned last week, how can a person have a true experience with Jesus Christ and not do anything? When I came to Jesus, he totally changed my life, and he opened my eyes up to how to live this life, and I started reading about him and studying Jesus in the Bible and just wanting to be more and more like him. And when I read about Jesus and then I go on and read about his disciples and the apostles, the early church, I see they did what he did. And so therefore, when Jesus says, follow me, then I want to follow Jesus. I want to do like James did, do like Paul and Peter, how they followed Jesus and they did what he did. And so the things that I do in the name of Jesus, I do it because I love him. I want to be like him. I know I can't do enough works to save myself. I can't do that. None of us can do that. I know that I'm saved by faith alone and Jesus alone, but those good works, those acts of mercy, they're just going to come out of me, and they're going to come out of you too when you come to Christ and he's your Savior and Lord. I just don't see any way how a person can truly be a follower of Jesus and not do anything. And that includes sharing your faith, because how can you not share your faith when you know how to tell somebody they don't have to die and go to hell? They can die and go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I mean, we can't hold that news to ourselves. And so James is sometimes misunderstood because people read his words with Paul's definition in mind. And that is so unfair to both James and to Paul. One of the main verses that people quote when talking about Paul and James disagreeing with each other is Romans 3:28, where Paul writes, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." Here in the context that Paul wrote that letter, people were trying to tell new believers that they still had to obey all the Jewish laws in order to be saved. When we know Jesus came and he fulfilled the law and he delivered us from the curse of the law and he gave us a new covenant by his blood, the covenant of grace, that faith alone and Jesus alone will be saved. So there was some really bad teaching going on, and Paul was trying to correct that. He wasn't talking against works. He was saying you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus are you saved. The law cannot save you. And he makes that so clear. And then when we look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, we see Paul writing this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God." So see, he's saying right there, it's a gift from God. Only through Jesus can you be saved. And then he goes on in verse 9, "Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast." So he's saying, look, you can't work. You can't do the law. You can't obey the law to be saved. You can't do any kind of works to be saved. It's only faith in Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So see, he's saying, look, we come to faith in Jesus alone, only faith in Jesus. It's the only way we are saved. But God has created us for good works through Christ Jesus, and he's already prepared us for that, for these good works. And so these two teachings do not contradict each other. And we look in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, which was penned by Paul. He writes, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." So see, Abraham, he was justified by faith. He had faith in God, and he obeyed God, and he took his family and left his country, and he did what God wanted him to do, obeying the Father. And so we have to have faith in Christ alone. No other way to be saved. But Paul and James are both saying, look, it's by works that we're going to show our faith. We can look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He healed the sick. He cast demons out of the demon-possessed. He fed people. Remember the feeding of the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Jesus did these good works, but he preached the gospel message that salvation is in him. He tells us, John 14:6, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father." And back with James, we see James is telling people, look, when you are born again, when you are saved by Jesus Christ, the good works are going to show. And what I found throughout my life is those good works, they will help lead people to Jesus. That's what we do here at Love in Action. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through acts of compassion. And what that means is when we find a homeless person and they're cold, they need a blanket, they need a tent, they need a sleeping bag, they need food. We help them. We show them the love of Christ. We have a place for them to come to shower and for us to wash the laundry and a place they can come to eat. And so just meeting these physical needs, and we're showing them that we love them because of Jesus that's in, who is in us. And through meeting those physical needs, then they're willing to listen to what we have to say. And they realize that what we're doing is all because of Jesus. And it's all because Jesus loves them. And all this is being done because Jesus wants to show that one person as well as everybody else. But for that person, they're noticing, they're realizing, wow, Jesus loves me so much that he brought these people here with all these things that I needed, and I have them now. Jesus has just met my need, so he really does care for me. And that opens up the door for them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it's what James is talking about here. He's saying, look, you say you have faith, yet you do nothing. Look, my works will show you how much I believe in Jesus. Jesus, when he's in us, those good works are outflows of that love of Christ who was in us. And so James and Paul, their teachings actually agree. Though James, he's addressing a different situation than Paul. Again, he was saying, look, professing Christians, they're living lives that are contradicting to their claims. It's like, again, as I mentioned, what we do here at Love in Action. What if we come across, or a homeless person comes here, and he says, man, I'm hungry. You got something to eat? And we have a refrigerator full of food, or maybe our oven is full of food at that time. And we say, look, I'm just going to pray for you and pray that God will do something in your life. What's that showing the homeless person who just came up for some help? And we have the means to help them, but we don't. That just doesn't make sense, does it? And that's what James is writing here in James chapter 2. As we just read verses 14 through 26, he says, if somebody comes to you and they're cold and they're hungry, and you just tell them, look, be warm, be blessed, have a good day, I'm going to pray for you. What good is that? And I love the language James uses. And he says that if you believe God is one, well, he says, well, that's good, because you know even the demons recognize that and they shudder. And so he's saying you have an intellectual view of God, but that's as far as it goes. And we see that also the scripture that Love in Action was founded upon is in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. And so let's turn there, Matthew 25, starting in verse 35, where Jesus says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So Jesus is saying, as we go out and we serve, we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we help meet these needs, we visit the sick, and when we're doing all these things, we're doing it unto him. And then following that, we see in verse 41 where Jesus says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus is showing us it's very important to show his love to others, to not only tell people about him, but also show them his love. Because we have too many professing Christians who will profess Jesus as Lord, but by their lifestyles, you would never know it. And so that's, James is hitting on that. He is saying, look, people should know that you're a born-again believer, and they're going to see that in your works. And your works of mercy is one way of calling, or you can call it good works. But it's important to remember that people look at our actions more than they listen to our voices. And they're going to listen to our voices, listen to what we have to say a whole lot closer when they see that backed up by our actions. And so James is saying, look, faith without works is dead. What he's saying is, you're saying you have this faith, but you're not showing it. It's not helping anybody. And we know Christianity is not a selfish religion. It's not something we just keep to ourselves. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's a relationship we want to share with others. When Jesus says, follow me, then we need to live like he lived. We need to go out and show people, tell people as well. You know, we can't just say, okay, I'll just do a bunch of works and not say anything. You have to have both of them working together. But if we're not showing forth his love to others, then we're keeping it all to ourselves. And that's not how Jesus tells us to live. An important thing to remember while looking at James's theology in this letter on faith and works is what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is also echoed in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And let's turn there. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And John writes, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So we see that Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And John writes about that in 1 John. And Jesus tells us to do these good works. And so we need to do that, to love one another, to serve one another. And when we do that, we're showing Jesus that we do love him. He tells us to forgive one another. We need to forgive each other. And so as we keep his commandments, we show that we love him. It's always interesting going back and looking at some of the church fathers. You can go back to the early church and then keep progressing up through the history of the church and come across somebody like John Wesley, who did many amazing things for the glory of God. And when he discovered acts of mercy, that totally changed his life. He considered works of mercy, or we might call them good works, really more important than works of piety, which are Bible study and prayer and taking the Lord's Supper. He considered works of mercy that important. And he even said, thus should the disciple show his zeal for works of piety, but much more for the works of mercy. Whenever, therefore, one interferes with the other, works of mercy are to be preferred. So he said, look, if you have a conflict of works of piety, works of mercy, go with works of mercy. I contend we can do both. I always believe for myself that I need to start my day in prayer and in the Bible, and then go forth from there, and acts of mercy flows in that. But acts of mercy is a very important part of a Christian life, because it's being obedient to Jesus, and it's also showing his love to others. And so that's why you'll always hear me talk about we need to show our faith by the works that we do in God's name. It's not to boast about ourselves. It's not to say, hey, look what I did today. No. I truly don't care if anybody sees me. I just want them to see Jesus and to experience Jesus. And as we go out, and again, the good works, it doesn't have to just be working with the homeless or with the poor, even though I think working with the poor is a very big part of it. But there's so many things that we can do to show forth his love to others. It's helping our neighbors. It's helping maybe an elderly person that you know needs some help getting to the store, or even just taking their trash can to the road. Something that simple is important to that person, and it's showing the love of God to that person. And it may be going to a nursing home and visiting people, or it may be going to the hospital and visiting sick and just asking people if you can pray for them. There's people who are in jail ministries, or who goes to jails and prisons to share the love of God with those who are incarcerated. There's things you can do for children who are in foster care. There's things you can do for foster parents. You can help them. Help the children. There's just so many different things that we can do to show forth the love of Christ to others. And so I just encourage you, if you're not doing that already, pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because he wants us to do those good works. We just read that earlier. And so just ask him, what do you want me to do? And then step out and start doing it. Maybe try a few different things and see what happens. When people come to Love in Action to volunteer, we'll show them and tell them the different things that we're doing that day, and say, hey, do you want to work in our food pantry, for example? Or do you want to sit out and pray with people? Or do you want to serve food? And really get people to try different things and see where they feel like the Lord is calling them. And when we step out and do something for God, he'll show us exactly what he wants us to do. But we need to take that step of faith. So James made it clear that salvation was through faith. We read that in James 1, verses 17 through 18. And James is saying, if we are saved, we will have good works. And our works, or lack of them, will show if our faith is alive or dead. So we see James and Paul really do agree with each other. There's no contradiction there. James is telling us works are going to show our faith. And James went on from there, from talking about faith and works. He then started writing about patience and suffering. We don't think a whole lot about that as far as persecution goes, because we don't see that here in the U.S., but we have brothers and sisters around this world who suffer greatly, who are persecuted greatly for their faith. And we're blessed to work alongside some of them. And it's amazing how they live out their lives for Jesus, knowing that they're going to be persecuted. And Jesus tells us that we will be. So we shouldn't be surprised when we do face persecution. The Christians who James wrote to, and again, it's important to understand the audience. Who is he writing to? They were suffering through persecution, because that persecution had really ramped up after the martyr of Stephen. If you remember Stephen being martyred, and of course Saul, who became Paul, was there at that stoning of Stephen and approving it. And then, man, when Jesus got a hold of him, totally radically changed him. But James, we talked about last week, he was a pastor. He was over the church of Jerusalem, and he encouraged the believers to stay steadfast in their faith by being patient. He used Old Testament prophets as examples. They served the Lord, even if it meant their lives. They would die because they were serving God. And he referenced Job to ensure followers that God has a plan. He has a plan in their suffering, just as he had for Job, who we know is the classic example of suffering in the Bible. When we think of suffering, or at least I do, I think of Job. If I'm going through something, I've turned to Job before to get encouragement and inspiration from God having a purpose in the suffering of Job. And we see suffering saints throughout Scripture. including the life of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. We know he suffered greatly and he died. He warned his followers. He said he was persecuted. Therefore, they would be persecuted as well. And we read that in John chapter 15, verse 20. But we know, praise be to God, Jesus came back to life on the third day to give us eternal life if we just believe. James chapter 5, verses 10 through 11 points to Jesus as he writes about how we are blessed when we're persecuted. How many times have you thought, well, if I get persecuted, that means I'm really blessed? Let's read that, because I think that's important, because too many times we don't think about persecution. Here in the U.S., if somebody calls you a name because you're a Christian, we think that's persecution. Well, no. If it is, it's very, very, very tiny persecution. But even if people calling us names, or if I remember one time in my newspaper career, I was held back from being promoted at a time or two because of my faith in Jesus. Did I say, woohoo, I'm so glad I'm being persecuted? No, it hurt, but I just stayed focused on Jesus and said, well, you know, I'm going to keep on living for Jesus. I'm not going to change because I want a job promotion. And eventually I got promoted higher than I was even trying to be promoted at the time. So, you know, God works it all out when we're faithful to him. And praise God, he's faithful even when we aren't. But let's go back to James. Let's go to chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 10 through 11. So James chapter 5. Verses 10 through 11. And James writes, "An example, brethren, of suffering and patience. Take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. We count these blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." So God has a plan in our sufferings. We just have to trust him. And we know that Jesus, we know he suffered greatly. And we also know he talks about suffering and telling us that, you know, he was persecuted. Therefore, we would be too, so we shouldn't be surprised when we are. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus says, celebrate. Don't let the persecution get you down. Be joyful even in persecution. And we see the apostles going through that as well. When they're proclaiming Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin, they are even beaten. And they say, praise God, we were counted worthy to be persecuted like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So James is an incredible book, and I encourage you to pick it up, read it, study it, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. It's such a practical and important piece of the Bible. Again, it's that New Testament book of wisdom, but it goes so much more. It tells us how to live this life for Jesus. James reminds us of many things that Jesus tells us in the Gospels as well. Massey Shepherd, who wrote the Epistle of James and the Gospel of Matthew, wrote a journal of biblical literature about it, says, "James should be valued alongside Matthew's Sermon on the Mount as given an insight into traditions of early Christianity that lie very close to the person of Jesus." And then Miriam Camel, who wrote The Implications of the Grace for the Ethics of James, wrote, "When James's epistle is understood correctly, we see James's writing stems from God's own character and his redemption of his chosen people, making his ethics among the most theologically developed in the New Testament." I certainly agree with Miriam. James, he was a loving pastor, and he points in his writings, he points to Jesus, and he shows us how to live for him. So I encourage you to read, study the letter of James for yourself. And again, read it in context. Understand who James is, who his audience is he's writing to, what's going on at that time. And then you can understand it better and apply it to your own life. And do as James tells us, be doers of his word and not hearers only. So let's be doers of the word of God. Put it to work in our lives. Well, praise God for his word. Thank you again for joining me today. I hope you have a wonderful week coming up. And as you go through it, remember each day and throughout each day that Jesus loves you so much. And I pray the Lord bless you and keep you, May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.